Well, blessings to all of you. Peace be to all you, to all of those who love the Lord God in sincerity. And if that's not your experience tonight, I hope by the end of these meetings it will be. This is my first time here, and it's a little bit intimidating. But I am thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the invitation to be here tonight. I've titled the message tonight, In the Presence of God. And I greet you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. I don't know what he is to you tonight, maybe what he has been. Well, where are you at with Jesus tonight? I don't know. But whether you've been washed in the blood or you're still living in sin, I want to tell you God loves you. And God wants you to come to him with your whole heart. So discipleship meetings. What do you expect from them? Leadership meetings, discipleship meetings, whatever you want to call them. All of us tonight are in one way or another leading someone. We cannot get away from that, whether you're an older gentleman, older brother, older sister, middle age, all the way down to our youth. Somebody follows you. Walk in the light and be pure in his sight because somebody follows you. You are influencing someone, some way, somewhere. You young people might think tonight that I'm just young, I don't have any influence. Oh yes, but you do. There's little children that are looking up to you. First graders look up to eighth graders. Well, they want to be just like that eighth grader. And I would tonight, we would get a vision of being people that are willing to be patterned after. And we can say with Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. And then we can say that boldly. It's God's heart that we can say that tonight. You know, the presence of God is a delight to those who walk in the light. But those who don't walk in the light, those who are hiding, those who have dark things in their life, those who have things hidden underneath that mattress, those who are walking in ways that are not upright and walking in the light, it's a fearful thing to get too close to God. And it is my heart tonight. It's been 40-some years since I was born again. My heart is full. And the burden of the message tonight is that we would never be content with anything other than walking in the presence of God. If you will turn your Bibles to Exodus, the 33rd chapter, we'll read from 12 through 16. Here's Moses, and God is speaking with him about leading the children of Israel. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and the people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So, I want you to get that. So shall we be separate, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. So how is this that we are separate? If God is with us. That's the only thing that will separate us tonight. Your plain clothes, your separated life, as important as that is to me tonight. And I don't want anybody taking this as if that is not important to me, because it is. I still believe in a separate people. But you can live on the back 40, hiding your life, isolating yourself, and be living in deep sin. The only way you are separated unto God is when you walk with Him in the light. So, beloved flock of God, so much potential. So many people to be an example to a generation following. Redeemed, bought back from a life of broken, ugly. That was me. 22 years old, carnal, married, had one child when I found the Lord Jesus. And I'm not proud of my past, and I'm not going to talk about that tonight. I suspect there's many of you here that can identify with a partying life in your youth. But we've been redeemed. We've been bought out of that. We're not going back there. We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, to a fulfilled and joyful life, a life separated unto God by the blood made whole, accepted in the Beloved. And we've been called to a life of holiness, as Paul told the Thessalonians, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Do you believe tonight that God is able to do that? You know, we make much of the saving power of God, and that's good and it's right. We are, you know, without the saving power of God, we wouldn't have any chance, we wouldn't have a hope. But I want to encourage us tonight to get a hold of the keeping power of God also. God is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Are you persuaded tonight that God is able? I think sometimes some young people struggle. They just seem to have a hard time staying on top. And they believe in the saving power of God. But brethren, it's a fight of faith. Tonight, the life that we live is a life of, it is a fight of faith. And if we cannot believe in the keeping power of God, then there may be some struggles ahead of us. So the message, the burden of the message tonight is, do we know God? Or do we just know about God? Not did you know, do you know? Maybe an illustration that I've used before, and I'm going to use it again tonight because it fits so well. So there's a man comes up to Joseph's 11 brethren, and they say to this man comes up to these brethren, and he says, that ruler over there in Egypt, do you know him? Oh, yeah. I know him. He's a hard man. You better be prepared. Better get your act together before you go over there and buy corn. He's pretty thorough. He counted us for spies. Yeah, we know him well. Did they know him? They knew him as a king, but they didn't know him as a brother. And tonight I asked you the question, do you know Jesus Christ as a king or as your brother? You need to answer that. In your heart, you need to answer tonight, who is Jesus to you? Knowing God and or knowing about God is the difference between eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life. Listen, brethren. I know what it was like to soak up the Word of God when I was first born again. And how precious the truths were. And the tears that it cost whenever I would hear another precious gem of truth. 40 years later, where are we? We've been taught well. We have much good teaching. We have good examples. We have books. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We know much about God. But do we know God? Now, I'm not here to uproot or to undermine your faith tonight. I have no heart to make you feel bad about your life. I want you to be rejoicing in the truth of God's word. I want you to be settled and resting. But there's a very good possibility that there's a lot of people here tonight that know a lot about God, but their heart is cold. I trust not, but there's a good possibility. That's the fact. You know, in Revelations 2, when John was out on the island that is called Patmos for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And the revelation was given to John, and he started talking about the churches. And we know this story well, we know this account well, but I'm going to read it. In Revelations 2, verse 1 through 7, "And unto the church, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We would title the church at Ephesus a good church. We would. They had a lot of good things going for them. Good works, patiently laboring. They had discernment. They knew who was genuine and who wasn't. Seems like a lot of us as Anabaptist people are pretty good at picking out the faults of where others aren't quite as conservative or quite as spiritual as what we should think they should be. We're pretty good at that. Acrid on doctrine, hated the things that God hated. The Nicolaitans, they weren't happy with that either. But they ceased eating from the tree of life, and they just kept eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They had lost something. They had lost something. Yesterday's love is not enough for God's people. God is looking tonight for fresh fruit. He doesn't want dried up fruit with little rotten spots on the bottom that was left over from last week. Yesterday's love is not enough. If we're not growing in the knowledge or conviction, you can take the word knowledge in the scriptures and put the word conviction in there and it fits well. If we're not growing in knowledge or conviction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're backsliding. And Proverbs 14:14 tells us that a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Do you ever think about what that's like? What is his own ways? What are your own ways? What is your lower nature? What is native to you? We don't like to talk about them things. Second Peter Second Peter 2, I'm sorry, I have the reference wrong. 2 Peter 1:2-10. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these, the precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if we do these things, ye shall never fall. If we don't keep pressing into the kingdom, we're going to slide back. There is no neutral in this Christian life. You can't put your vehicle in park and set the emergency brake and be determined that you're going to stick right there. It's not going to work. You're on a slippery slope, and unless you've got it in four-wheel drive and you're trying to go forward, you're going to slip backwards. Maybe a crude illustration, but there is no standstill in this Christian life. Brethren, we need to strive to enter in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's reality tonight. The sobering thing about it is when we start sliding back, the fruits of our lower nature, the passions, the things we got victory over, when we backslide, come back with vengeance. Our flesh having been put under for so long, our appetites for worldly pleasure, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they come back with intensity. Now, they may not look like they did back then because we're, after all, Christians. They can look a lot more holy. They can even put on an acceptable face. They may even look Christian, but they come from fleshly motives. And I, brethren, I have no rocks to throw at any one of you tonight. Unless you've grown cold towards God and you're just trying to keep face, you're trying to look good as a Christian, but you know deep inside that you've got some moral issues, you've got some things going on in your life, it's not good. And God knows that tonight. You can't hide from him. We trust better things than that of you. But I call us to arms tonight. For the kingdom of God's sake. This is no amusement park, brethren and sisters. We're in a war. It's real. And if you think you can go on with your casual, ho-hum, just hanging out mentality and make it to glory, I'm sorry, you're not going to make it that way. It's going to take some pressing into the kingdom. You're not going to slide into glory. Would God say to us, I know your works. You've done well in maintaining separation. And I appreciate what I've seen here tonight. I appreciate what the churches are trying to uphold and trying to maintain. I do. I deeply appreciate that. Your sisters are still wearing the coverings. You're doctrinally correct and are able to point out where others are not, perhaps. Perhaps you give to the church and you help support missionaries. Perhaps you're called to preach or whatever, Sunday school teacher. Divorce and remarriage isn't an option. We know better than that. We're not going there, and I praise God for that tonight. We've eaten well of the tree of life. We've eaten well of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but are we eating of the tree of life? Does your fruit have soft spots tonight? What would Jesus say? Would he say, I appreciate, you're separated people and you've got your doctrine straight and you've got it right, but I have somewhat against thee. Would he say that tonight? I trust not. Only fresh fruit is acceptable to our King. And I ask the question, is our sacrifice of the firstlings of the flock or from the fruit of the ground? Do we bring Cain's type of offering or do we bring Abel's type of offering? One was acceptable, the other was not. Was it the offering or was it the heart behind it? It was the heart behind it. That's where they went wrong. And that's my question to us tonight. I guess that part of my burden tonight is I don't know how many of you people come from the same background as I did. But I love my people. I can't help that. I was raised Amish and I love my people. And I love other people too. But I want to warn us tonight. It's pretty easy to start out well and react and run away from that which we don't want. It's pretty easy to do that. And we keep on going, or we're watching, we don't want to go, and we fall off the cliff because we're not watching where we're going. There's a huge difference tonight between going to or going from. And tonight I beg of you, you dear souls that are stepping out of conservative churches or whatever you're doing where you get saved, I beg of you to set your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and have a goal in your life and move towards, not away from. You'll go wrong. And another thing, if you're leaving something and you've been hurt by it, you've been excommunicated, I was, and I reacted to that. It was pain. We tend to react to our pain. And we get bitter. And friends, I'm going to tell you tonight, if there's anybody out there that's bitter tonight because of past experiences, I urge you to repent. Bitter will take you places that you do not want to go. And the interesting thing about bitterness is people don't know that they're bitter. You can talk to somebody and you hit a certain subject and you get a poof, you get a flare up. I can assure you, I had it happen to myself. I would have said, I'm not bitter. Work through those things. Those things are behind me. Somebody touched a button and I scared myself. It made me search my heart. And I realized that I was bitter. And I had to write a letter to this man and apologize for my response. And I told him, I realize now that I was still bitter about what happened back there. Friends, we cannot go down the road that way. If you're a young father and you still got bitterness in your heart, it's going to bleed down through to your children. And my burden is for our families, and maybe tomorrow night I will go there with the message. I want us to get that unless we are willing to lead in a way where God is with us, we are in the presence of God, then it won't go well with our posterity. Is the power of God in your life tonight? Or are you just a good Anabaptist? You know, we're hearing a lot about the 500-year anniversary of our Anabaptist churches. And it's an interesting study. I praise God for George Blowrock and Felix Munns and Conrad Grebel. I praise God for those men. You know, they didn't last very long, only a couple years, and they were all three dead. But their legacy lives on. We're thankful recipients tonight of a movement that started from a people that had a faith in a believer's church. They gave their life for it. Will we? Baptism was huge to them. Infant baptism, they knew that was wrong. They wanted a believer's baptism, a believer's church. And today we're faced with delayed infant baptism. We're faced with people getting baptized to be members of a church, and they're not saved. That was my experience. I wanted what was right, but I was a sinner at heart. I was so disappointed after I was baptized and I realized that nothing had changed. Then I got converted and then I started getting a conviction. I need to be baptized. I don't know where you're at with that tonight. But our forefathers died for that truth, for the sake of a believer's baptism. Have you been baptized since you were born again? Or are you even born again? I ask that freely tonight. Ye must be born again. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. There is none exempt. Is the presence of God with you tonight? Here are a few tests that maybe we could do. When the presence of God is with us, we will be humbled. Isaiah, when he got into the presence of God, there in Isaiah chapter 6, I think it is, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Maybe I'll turn to that. I love that. I just love when I think of humility. My mind often goes to that. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. I see this as an ongoing All through the scripture, when somebody got into the presence of God, they were humbled. But after they were sufficiently humbled, they were also willing to say, here am I, send me. And I asked you tonight, are you there? Or are you one of those that, here am I, send Aaron? Where are you tonight? Are you willing to let yourself serve for the kingdom of God's sake? Here am I, send me. When you're sufficiently humbled, you'll be willing to serve. And you won't think it a proud thing to offer your services for something. You know, we as Mennonites are Anabaptists. Let's just use that term because there's a wide variety of people here tonight. We're pretty good at trying to make ourselves look kind of spiritual because we're too humble to say, here am I, send me. Oh, that's kind of boastful. That's kind of, you know, nobody volunteers for anything because after all, that looks kind of gross feely. How God must hate that. How God must hate our supposed put on humility. Let's just be real. Let's just dwell in the presence of God and be who we are. Are you accepted in the beloved? Then live that way. John on the island that was called Patmos. You know, when he was out there on that island, he turned around, he saw Jesus. What did he do? Flat on his face. Paul on the Damascus road, when he saw that bright light, and he said, Paul, Paul, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Flat on his face. Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Jesus was already ascended. What did he mean by that? Inasmuch as ye have done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Brethren, it's serious business. We need to get real with God, to be humble enough to serve him and to serve each other. You know, it's not how much you know. It's not how eloquent you can speak. It's not how powerful you can make your presentation. It's about who you know. Not what you know about him, but who you know in here. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable one to his death. What would you have me to do, Spirit, is what we need. And brethren, if you're not there tonight, if you're not there and you're not saying to God, you know, Lord, what would you have me to do? Could I suggest that you would seek God's face until you can say that with an honest heart? What would you have me to do? You want me to serve as a missionary? You want me to teach school? You want me to go on that outreach? You want me to go talk to that neighbor? You want to go? Want me to offer my help to a mother that's struggling? If you're a young lady here, young girl here this night, here am I, send me. But you know, before we can get to that place, we're going to have to get to that place where Paul did. In Philippians. Got that reference wrong. Bear with me a little bit. Here's Paul speaking in Philippians 3, verses 4 through 9. And these are the verses that are prior to when he said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Maybe I'll just break in here in verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Jesus, that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I had to die to that which was very, very precious to me. And a lot of you did too. The cross is not easy to take up. But until you're ready to let go of your own self-righteousness and pick up the cross, you will never experience the power of his resurrection until you're ready to die to your own ambition. You just won't die. You won't prosper. I believe when we live in the presence of God, we will love truth more than anything else. We will love truth enough that when God puts his finger on something in your life, you're willing to say, "Yes, Lord. That's right. That's me. Oh, but Lord, you don't understand. You know, this is what was expected of me, and this is what my people were expecting of me." And God's putting his finger on something in your life. Are you willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I understand"? John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that hateth evil, doeth evil, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." You know, brethren, tonight it's understandable if our little children are afraid of the dark. That's very understandable. But it is a pitiful thing tonight if us as grown people are afraid of the light. That is a sorry thing. We understand children being scared of the dark, but oh, would to God that none of us as grown men and adults would be afraid of the light. Let the light come in. Let the light come in. Just reveal your heart. Just open your heart. Oh, I don't know what people would think. I don't know what people would say. You know, I'm going to look like a fool if I expose everything that I've done. What's more important tonight to you? To expose what you have done and look like a fool before people, or stand at the judgment bar of God and be condemned to an everlasting hell because you're not willing to be a man, to be a woman of faith and confess your faults? What a shame. Some men's sins go to judgment beforehand. You can send your sins to judgment beforehand. You can do that tonight. And I praise God for that. There's blood enough. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin if we're willing to confess and forsake it. We can send those sins to judgment beforehand, and when you stand before the throne of God, you're washed, you're clean. You can hear those words, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Or you can stand there at the throne and too proud to admit your faults, and these sins come following after, like it says in Timothy. Some men's sins go to judgment beforehand, and others they follow after. I don't want to be among that number, that I'm standing there before the judgment bar of God, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself, and all at once all these things come up behind me again. I don't want to be there, and neither do you. You might be too proud to admit your failures, your faults, your shortcomings, your sin. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts tonight. I'm not going to, I wasn't really going to go there tonight, but for some reason I just urge us to get serious with God and to not let anything hinder us. Because fathers and mothers tonight, you've got little children that you're responsible for. And if you're not going to walk in the light and you're not going to be transparent and you're not going to take care of those sin issues, it'll bleed through. Well, humility is one thing you will experience if you walk with God. And we don't want to be a Saul who started out humble and then fell into pride and envy and ended up seeking counsel of the witch of Endor. Oh, we would never do that. We'd never go seeking counsel of a witch somewhere, would we? Gets dangerously close to some of our settings. With the powwowing and the witchcraft that's going on. However, that's not what I'm talking about here tonight. Do you make the connection where God said rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft? If you're rebelling against God, or if you're rebelling against your authority, if you young people are rebelling against your parents, and you don't have a higher authority that releases you to do what you're doing, you're going to get advice, you're going to get counsel, you're going to get direction from the wrong source. I just believe that it's that simple, and I believe that's the connection between rebellion and witchcraft, is because when we rebel against God, we get counsel from a wrong source. And I urge us to not go there. You see, it's pretty easy to start out well. And even do fairly well halfway through. But what really matters tonight is how we finish. And I guess that's part of my burden tonight. I want to leave that with you in closing. How we finish is what really matters. 40 years a Christian is not enough if I don't finish well. One more little test that I want to lay on our hearts tonight. When you think of dwelling in the presence of God, so what is God? God is light, so we walk in the light. God is love. If you're not walking in love tonight, you don't know God. So how do I know if I love God? Do you love your brother? Oh, I think so. Yeah, I love my brother. I love my sister. Yeah. So what do? How does it go with you? When somebody comes up to you and says, maybe there's a brother you're struggling with, and this brother shares with you some concerns about this man, how do you respond to that? Yeah, I know. I kind of share your burden. We need to pray about that. You know what's going to happen when you really love somebody? You're going to protect them like their family. When somebody comes and shares a concern about a brother, and you're going to say, well, are you sure he meant it that way? That doesn't sound like his character. Let's make sure that's true before we take that any further. It's a test for you tonight. What you do with gossip reveals something about your heart, and it reveals something about whether you're dwelling with God or not. Whether you're dwelling in the presence of God, God must hate that. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and I might not have them all in order. But the last one says, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Surely us Anabaptist people wouldn't do that, would we? Surely not. Yeah, we do. That's why we have so many church splits. Problems in the churches. Let's be honest, brethren. Let's be men. Let's be women of faith that are willing to say, you know what? That's me. God is able to cleanse your heart and take you on through to glory. And he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He's able to do that to you tonight. But you have to be honest. You have to walk in the light as he is in the light. And then we can have fellowship one with another. We confess our faults. He is faithful and just. We confess our sins. And that's one of the biggest challenges for us today in today's world. Somehow it sounds a lot more spiritual to say, I'm struggling with that brother. I'm struggling with this. Then it does, you know what? I have sinned. Just doesn't sound quite as bad when you say you're struggling. I'm not going through a struggle. God came to wash us from our sins, not our struggles. Tonight, if you got sin in your life, then call it for what it is. Shall we stand together in closing? Father in heaven, we come in Jesus' name tonight. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to understand a responsibility that we have to walk in the light, to walk in your presence. And Father, I've not done so well always. We fail, we stumble, we fall. And yet, Father, we come once again by faith. We plead the blood. We ask for forgiveness where we failed. And Father, if there's anybody here tonight that's got sin in their life, that's not willing to, that has not laid off their sin. Perhaps there's some here that's not born again. Perhaps there's some that have just got deep issues in their life. Father, I pray that you would deal with them and help them to find someone to talk to and unload their burden. We commit the evening to you and trust you with our future. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless each one.